Greetings, friends, in Jesus' name. We are coming in our Bible reading notes to look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 31 to 33. This is quite a passage. What we want to look at today is the fact of the detail of Jesus' knowledge of the future. Jesus knows your future and mine. He knows the future for this world, for Africa, and what is going to happen here. And he knows that he will be the judge on the great day when he returns to judge this world. And you can read more about that in the second half of Matthew chapter 24. But we're not looking at that today. What we want to do is look at Jesus' amazing prediction in verse 31 to 33 of chapter 8, which is really encouraging because it tells us Jesus knows the future and it all worked out exactly as he said. Great encouragement and amazing. Let's pray for help from God and see how we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again. We thank you that the Bible tells us that it is worth more to us if we understand it and desire it truly than much gold. Most people would sell their souls for gold. But we are told, and we want to accept your word, that the Bible is able to make us wise unto salvation and make us thoroughly equipped to live for God in this world, in this difficult world. And we pray, therefore, your help as we come to read it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 31 of chapter 8. This is an exciting passage. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Whew. Wow. How about that? That is amazing. You know, he's just asked them the question. He's done the miracles at the end of chapter 7, the beginning of chapter 8. The Pharisees have been opposed to him and don't see what he's doing. They don't understand. His own disciples didn't understand. And they are groping their way and slowly, which teaches us to have patience with people. Very few people can become Christians and clear in their thinking straight away. So Jesus is patient with them, but then he comes to the point where he says, who do the people say I am? Who do you say I am? And as soon as they get the right answer, he tells them that he is going to suffer. And yeah. So notice, I want you to notice the parts here. What Jesus does is what God does in Isaiah 48, 1 to 8, and you can read that in your own time. But God in Isaiah 48, 1 to 8 tells the future and then says that he's telling them the future because the idols and the false gods can't predict the future. But he knows the future and he's giving out the key details. And that's what Jesus is doing. He reveals the future so that when it happens, as he said it would happen, the disciples then, and you and I now, would know that Jesus knows the future and no matter what happens, that he is in control and we need to keep faith in him and trust and obey him even at the worst times. Now, you will notice the word must. He must suffer. Jesus had to die. No salvation, no forgiveness of sin, no reconciliation with God, no more having God as our great friend and father, unless Jesus died. So he must suffer many things, first thing he says, and second, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and killed. Third, and fourthly, 3 days later, rise again. Got it? Four parts. The word must.
He says all these things must happen. It's not like a prophecy where, you know, most of these things will happen. That's not how God prophesies. That's how prophets prophesy. And you have to wonder, well, I wonder if this is the fulfillment. But when Jesus predicts the future, he tells them exactly what's happening. And that is what the Bible tells us, exactly what we need to know. And God keeps his word. What do we need is faith. There are prophecies about the cross and the resurrection and the betrayal and death of Jesus in Psalm 22, Isaiah 52, 53. And Zechariah 13, verse 7. They're all fulfilled in his suffering and death. And Jesus was confident, knowing these things must happen because Scripture, being God's word, Old Testament word, will always be fulfilled. What God wants to know is if you and I are confident that God will keep his word. See? You know, when Jesus was crucified, boy, it didn't look like God is in control. The disciples all ran away. Only the women are there, and John came. And that was it. I mean, it really looked like God had lost control. They didn't know what was going on. But God was in absolute control. And the disciples, again, are given this time. Previously, they'd seen the miracle. And the miracle, they didn't think about what it meant. And so Jesus had to talk to them and explain to them because they were just looking but not thinking. Here, and they would only have realized this afterwards, but here Jesus is giving them a detailed prophecy of what he's going to do on the cross and what the next few days would bring. And they should have been, as it was happening, they ought to have been saying, oh, yes, this is what Jesus said. Well, we don't know what's happening next, but we know that this is what he said. So the word of God should have strengthened them. But they weren't thinking. And you can see it because in verse 32, he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Well, wasn't that a mistake? It's always a mistake when we think we know better than God, no matter what the reason is. No matter what the reason, no matter what happens as a result of our obedience, the moment you and I think we know better than the Bible, we are in trouble. That's actually what the Pharisees were saying. They were saying, we got the Bible, we know what it says, we don't need Jesus, he's a fake. Wow. Boy, was that a mistake. So what's your attitude to the scriptures today? We ought to be saying, Lord, whatever your word says, that I will believe. And some bits may be difficult, but I will walk in faith, believing the written word of God, and I will obey your word, even though I suffer for it. Jesus suffered in doing your will, following your word. I will faithfully follow you and do what you say. The fact is, God and the Bible are never wrong, but we are, and we never know better or are wiser than God. The moment we think, I know the Bible says this, that Christians should do this, but for this reason or that reason, I cannot obey God, or it's too hard, we're in the wrong. Like Peter, and we dishonor God. He took Jesus aside and rebuked him. Jesus turned straight around and said a terrible thing, but it was true. Get behind me, Satan. Now, it wasn't that Peter had become the devil, but the thought that Jesus got it wrong was from the devil. Peter didn't think about that. He just blurted it out because he couldn't imagine how Jesus, it could be good. And God's will that Jesus should die. But it was God's will that Jesus should die. In fact, that was God's eternal plan. And we want to say, if we were there, we should be saying, Peter, you're in the wrong, brother. And we should be saying to one another, no matter what the cost of obeying, we are in the wrong when we say this is too hard, too complex. Yeah. Peter gets it right eventually. You can read Peter's short first letter. Though he rebuked Jesus here, he later repented and was restored in John 21. Then he went on, and history tells us he died being faithful to Christ in a martyr's death. Peter learned his lesson. And he says there in 1 Peter, even if you're suffering, obey God. Follow Jesus' example. So the great thing is, Peter learned the lesson. And the Lord was patient with him. Now, that we have a gracious God, patient. But here, Peter was rebuked in front of the disciples. In essence, Jesus is saying that even if we suffer like he did, we must give glory to God, and we must continue to trust and obey God just as Jesus did. That is the way that you and I can glorify God. Well, you know, the guys, the churches that preach that God wants you healthy and wealthy, this, they don't preach on this kind of stuff. They avoid these kind of things. But you and I cannot fiddle with the Bible. We cannot choose the bits. This is the real Jesus. This is the real Christian faith. The health and wealth stuff is a lie from the devil, because it offers you heaven on earth now and a pain-free, suffering-free Christianity. Well, Jesus, I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't offer you that. Jesus himself doesn't offer you that. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, he says, when people persecute you now. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12. This is the real faith. May God give us grace to follow the Lord faithfully now. We'll come and look at the rest of Mark 8, which is a gripping section. Whoa, one of the most powerful ones, where he spells out what it means to follow him in just a moment. We'll give you time just to think about this. Check your own heart and, Lord, ask yourself. Ask the Lord, Lord, show me, am I following you with the right attitude? Am I compromising so that there's no suffering? Am I being faithful like Jesus? Have I got in mind the things of God, or am I confusing things? Let's take a moment to think and pray about this.